Ethan, you've been studying how people actually use AI in their work, not the hype, but the reality. So let me ask the question every programmer is thinking, is AI going to take their job?
The short answer is no. The longer answer is, AI is going to change what programming means, and the programmers who adapt are going to be much more productive, while the ones who don't are going to be at a disadvantage. But replace is the wrong frame. It's more like augment and transform.
Welcome to TechNova. I'm Dr. Sarah Chen.
And I'm Marcus Webb. Today we're joined by Ethan Mollick, professor at the Wharton School and one of the most thoughtful voices on AI's impact on work. Ethan, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Ethan, you've written about vibe coding, this idea that programming is shifting from writing code to guiding AI to write code. What does that actually look like in practice?
Vibe coding is a term that emerged from the developer community, and it captures something real. The idea is that instead of writing syntax, typing out every line of code, looking up API documentation, debugging character by character, you're now describing what you want in natural language and the AI generates the code. You're working at the level of intent, not implementation. The vibe is that you're steering the AI toward the solution you want, giving it feedback, iterating, but you're not writing the actual code yourself.
Is that actually working? Can you build real software that way?
For certain types of software, absolutely. If you're building a prototype, a web app, a data analysis pipeline, a script to automate a task, vibe coding works remarkably well. The AI can generate working code in minutes that would have taken hours or days to write manually. Where it breaks down is in complex, large-scale systems with many interacting components, strict performance requirements, or complex security constraints. There, you still need human engineers who understand the architecture and can reason about trade-offs that the AI can't see.
So it's not that programming is going away. It's that the skill set is shifting.
Exactly. The skill of writing syntactically correct code is becoming less important. The skills that are becoming more important are system design, understanding how components fit together, problem decomposition, breaking complex goals into implementable pieces, and verification, being able to tell whether the AI-generated code is correct and secure. These are higher-level skills, and they're actually harder to teach than syntax.
You've studied how teams, not just individuals, are using AI. What's different about team-level AI usage?
This is one of the most interesting findings from my research. When individuals use AI coding tools, they get faster, maybe 20 to 40% faster on average. But when teams adopt AI tools collectively, with shared practices and workflows, the gains can be much larger, 50 to 80% in some cases. The reason is that AI doesn't just speed up individual tasks, it changes how teams collaborate. Code reviews become faster because the AI can pre-review. Onboarding new team members is easier because the AI can explain the code base. Knowledge sharing improves because anyone can ask the AI about any part of the system.
But there must be downsides. What are the risks of team-wide AI adoption?
Several. First, the killing. If junior developers never write code from scratch, they may not develop the deep understanding that comes from struggling with implementation. We're seeing some concern about this in the industry. Second, homogenization. AI models tend to produce similar solutions, which means code bases can become more uniform and potentially share the same blind spots. Third, security. AI-generated code can contain vulnerabilities that are subtle and hard to spot, especially if the team is reviewing code at a higher level without reading every line. And fourth, over-reliance. Teams can become dependent on the AI and lose the ability to debug or modify code when the AI gets it wrong.
The de-killing concern is really interesting. Are we creating a generation of developers who can't code without AI?
I think it's analogous to what happened with calculators and math. When calculators became ubiquitous, people worried that students would lose the ability to do arithmetic. And yes, many people can't do long division in their heads anymore. But math education shifted to higher level skills, problem solving, proofs, modeling, and the field advanced. I think the same thing will happen with programming. The question is whether our education system and our industry training programs can adapt fast enough.
Ethan, you've looked at the actual productivity data. What does it show?
The data is striking. Across multiple studies, from GitHub, from Microsoft, from independent researchers, the finding is consistent. AI coding assistants improve developer productivity by 20 to 56%, depending on the task type and the developer's experience level. The biggest gains are for junior developers working on routine tasks. They get a bigger boost because the AI is effectively filling in the knowledge gaps that experience would normally provide. The smallest gains are for senior developers working on novel, complex problems. The AI is less helpful there because the problem is outside its training distribution.
20 to 56% is a huge range. What determines where you fall in that range?
Three things. First, task type, boilerplate code, API integration, and testing see the biggest gains. Novel algorithm design and system architecture see the smallest. Second, how you use the AI, developers who treat the AI as a collaborator, giving it context and iterating, get much better results than those who treat it as a search engine. Third, the developer's own skill, experienced developers who already know what good code looks like get more value from the AI because they can guide it and evaluate its output. It's a bit of a paradox, the people who need AI the least benefit from it the most.
What about the economic impact? If developers are 30% more productive on average, what does that mean for the software industry?
It means we're going to build more software. History shows that when productivity increases in a field with unmet demand, the response is not fewer workers, it's more output. There's essentially unlimited demand for software. Every business needs more software than it has. So a 30% productivity increase doesn't mean we need 30% fewer developers, it means we can build 30% more software. The total amount of software being produced is going to explode.
Ethan, for someone starting their career in software today, what should they focus on learning?
I'd say four things. First, systems thinking, understand how components interact, how data flows, how failures cascade. This is the skill that AI can't replicate because it requires understanding the specific context of your system. Second, communication, the ability to explain what you want to both humans and AI. As programming becomes more natural language driven, the quality of your instructions becomes the bottleneck. Third, domain expertise, understanding the problem you're solving, whether that's finance, healthcare, or manufacturing. AI can write code, but it can't tell you what code to write. And fourth, judgment, knowing when the AI is wrong, which is the hardest skill and the most valuable.
What about the people who say, I'll just learn to prompt engineer and I'll be fine?
I think prompt engineering as a standalone skill is overrated. It's like saying you'll learn to use a calculator and that will make you a mathematician. Prompt engineering is a technique, not a profession. The people who will thrive are the ones who combine domain expertise, systems thinking, and AI fluency. The AI is a tool, a very powerful tool, but it's still a tool. The value is in the person who knows what to build and why.
Ethan, this has been incredibly thought-provoking. Before we wrap, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away?
I'd say, experiment. The best thing you can do right now is actually use these tools in your own work and see what they're capable of. The gap between people who have hands-on experience with AI tools and people who are theorizing about them is enormous. And it's growing every day. Don't wait for the definitive study, go build something with AI and see what happens.
Ethan Mollick, professor at the Wharton School. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both. This was a great conversation.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is Technova, see you next time.